Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. As we mark the 78th anniversary this weekend of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis, we're focusing on the latest chapter of the ship's incredible story, illuminated by the newly published book, Heroes in the Shadows. Complete with photos, official documents, and family contributions, it showcases the African-American members of the ship's crew, all of whom were counted among the 879 lives lost in the worst sea disaster in American naval history. Let's hear from more of this book's authors.
I am Jeanette Pitts. I am the niece of Steward's mate, First Class Albert Rice. He was the brother of my father, Leroy Pitts.
Help me understand, if you can go back in your memory, the first thing that you started to hear about your uncle and what got you interested in his story and his legacy.
Well, my father has always made us very aware of all of our family alive and deceased, my uncle included. So I can't remember a time that I didn't know about my uncle. We always referred to him by his nickname. My family called him Bud, and so to us, he was always Uncle Bud. I mean, we knew his legal name, but he was always Uncle Bud. And my father, throughout our lives, would recount stories of their growing up. We learned to respect him. We recognized him as one of the leaders of their family that helped keep their family together once their mom had died. So we grew up with a very deep love and respect for this person whom we never saw.
How much did you really know about him as far as who he was, what he was like, what he went through?
Separate from the Indianapolis, I knew as much about him as I did any of my other aunts and uncles. I can't emphasize enough that to me he was a real living person. It was just like a relative that happened to live in another state that you never got a chance to see. But there were so many stories, and he was just a part of the conversation as life went on. There were activities or things that we did that my father would comment that was like Bud, or you're being like Bud there. And so he just was really very much a part of our lives as if he were still living himself. He was my father's older brother, and as the older brother in a family where the mother died when my father was 6 years old, he and his twin sister, Alberta, helped to keep the five children together and support them. And so we had respect for him as an elder in that sense. I never, even though he was 20 years old when he passed, I always thought of him as being an elder and had respect for that. With respect to the Indianapolis, when it was the appropriate time, and I can't tell you what age I was because I actually don't recall, but at the appropriate time, my father did let us know that he had been on this ship. He let us know about the ship, and he actually showed to each of us at that time when I was growing up. The only book out was Abandoned Ship. My father had a copy of it. For me, it was difficult to actually read because my youthful sensitivities could not quite stomach the pain of it from that perspective. I know one of my other brothers did read it very early as a teen, but I was fully aware of the significance of the ship. He raised us to know that, to understand that, to respect that. My family has a long history of military service dating before my uncle to my great-grandfather in sense. So as a part of what my uncle did and his sacrifice, his service, that was just another step and another example of what was instituted into us in terms of really respecting our country and really trying to make sure that our country lives up to its own ideals. And we believed and were raised to understand that part of what Uncle Bud did was a part of that service. My father was a Korean War veteran, and even though his brother, during the last liberty, my uncle went home. And when he was home, one of the things he had shared with my father is that war is hell. And if you can stay out of war, you know, that it would be a good thing. But my father also went into the military as a young man and served in Korea and Japan.
And in unveiling this book and talking about it, you shared a speech that your father had written. You had some quotes from him, including a passage of scripture that seemed to be pretty significant to him with regard to this whole project and where it's going now. Can you share that with us?
he was really commenting on just the theistic perspective that he relied upon, a reflection of his cultural African-American background, that really has a belief that light can triumph over darkness. And if you think about it, there was darkness, just in the fact, just war in and of itself is a certain darkness and evil in the world amongst men, but that light can triumph over that. There are injustices done, and we know in terms of the African-American soldiers not having been represented, that in and of itself was an injustice, but that our light and better understanding and openness, people being willing to face truths, acknowledge them, and then we carry on and we move forward and we do better for the future. So in terms of his own pain, in terms of processing what happened to his brother, what happened to all of the men on the Indianapolis as a young man, he relied upon this belief that was instilled in him by his own folks, his family, that's strong in our family, that is strong in our African-American culture, that light can triumph over darkness. And that's what I tried to share. He did write, he penned a letter after receiving and reading the book that just expressed some of those thoughts, that appreciation, because he's longed for African-American sailors to be acknowledged, to be recognized. He did attend the 1995 reunion that the Indianapolis had. It was, I believe it was the first reunion that was open to Lost at Sea families. And at that point, he, as many others, went to the podium to make comments. And one of his comments was just wanting it to be acknowledged that African-American sailors had served on the Indianapolis, and his hope that as future books were written, that would come to light and would be included.
So now the book is here. So you've been a part of fulfilling his vision all these years later. What does that mean to see this in print, to see your uncle's story and these other sailors' stories in print, and know that when the story gets told from here on out, that's going to be part of that picture?
Words cannot express how significant that is for me, and it is most significant that this happened in my father's lifetime. My father was 13 years old when the ship went down. He's 91 now. It was my greatest fear that this would not come to fruition in his lifetime, and the fact that it has come in his lifetime, where he is actually doing very well, was able to contribute in terms of interviews and sharing information with me and for us to share on with the committee. The fact that this has happened where he can appreciate it, that is most meaningful to me. This whole journey has been wonderful. When we started out, we really didn't have expectation to be able to get much information, just some basic biographical data, if that, and we thought that we'd be able to complete it in 6 months in time for the next African American History Month. And we soon found out that that was not the case. And as we met every month, a part of much of our early meetings were just discussions in terms of our history, our African-American culture, and history as it relates to many different aspects. And that informed a lot of how the book evolved and how it developed, and that shed light that we had to expand beyond just these 28 men to a perspective, and we'll have to give people a frame of reference with respect to what has happened in our world, in our country, specifically with the Navy and the military in general, as pertains to persons of color and the experience that they have. So this is just a beginning. I mean, this definitely does not tell the entire story. This opens a small window, and it is our hope that people will take it from here, and minds will and hearts will continue to be open. The same can be spoken of other cultures, other races that may have experienced some of the same kinds of injustices. But in particular for the African-American military personnel and the African-American naval personnel, we hope it is just the beginning of what will be expanded upon in the future.
Was it meaningful to line up with your fellow authors and the people who put so much time in putting this book together, and to have the last survivor of the sinking sitting at that table with you, Harold Bray?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I did get a chance to say to Mr. Bray, and although I know we all call him Harold, but again, from my culture perspective, you know, he's Mr. Bray. But Mr. Harold, one of the things that I did share is I sat there and put my arm around him, and he asked me if my uncle had made it, and I let him. I said, no, he did not. I said, but you are here, and you are his shipmate. And that is meaningful to me. So, yes, it does help in terms of bringing things full circle, because we know at that time, wherever Harold Bray and many of his other crew were, they may not have even known, had they not been an officer, may not have been aware as much of the existence, of the presence of the African-American crew. Some were, but the vast majority weren't. But the fact that we now in 2023, you know, the niece of one of his shipmates can sit beside him and put her arm around him and know that in this sense we are one, that is meaningful to me.
That was Dr. Jeanette Pitts, Gina as she's known among her fellow contributors to the book Heroes in the Shadows. Again, that's linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com, and we get to meet another one of those contributors now. She happens to be a veteran herself, having served in the U.S. Air Force.
My name is Ernestine Pete, and I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
And your relative on the ship was?
Magellan Williams, my uncle.
So, take me back as far as you can. What's the first you remember hearing about this uncle that you never met?
The first time I heard about my Uncle Magellan was on Memorial Day when I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. And my mother kept crying. On Memorial Day, we were very patriotic. We vote as a family. We talk about all the politics of the world and the military. My father woke us up at 5 o'clock every morning when we were little kids, and we had to do exercises because he was a World War II Navy veteran. So Memorial Day to my mom meant that the Japanese killed her brother, and she never forgave them for that and never forgave the captain for that. So we would mention Uncle Magellan because we would always ask my mother, can you tell us a little bit about him? She said, I was 13 years old when I got the telegram. It was in the mail. It said my brother was lost at sea and my parents weren't home, and I couldn't figure out, do I tell them or do I just keep it? She said, I just cried all day. They came back from the store. Then when she told her mother, she remembers her mother falling to the floor, running. Then she got up and ran down the street. So then my aunt, Eunice, who's 103 years old, ever since then we would always ask, Aunt Eunice, tell us about Uncle Magellan. She would always say, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that. And to this day, at 103, she still doesn't talk about it. She hasn't even seen the book. She doesn't want anything to do with it. She says she does not want to talk about it, and she means that. But my mom, on the other hand, we've tried to show her the movie. We've given her hats and T-shirts and talked about it. And until recently, as I said earlier, my sister gave her the book, and then she smiled, and it was like she was trying to find some peace. But I do remember Doug Stanton was talking to my mother about the book when we were working on it. And all of a sudden, my nice, quiet mother was like, that captain should burn in hell. And it was like, Mom, and we were just running, trying to grab the phone from it, you know. But it was just hard, and we have his picture on our wall at home. We grew up looking at him in his Navy uniform, but we really didn't find out anything about him. We had to really dig. What we do know is he was engaged, and his fiance lost a child, and she had a mental breakdown, and that's what we remember about that. So it's like my sister and I want to make sure that nobody in the family forgets about everything that he's gone through. And my dad, while we were doing this story, my father kept telling me, he said, Ernestine, you cannot look at it through your eyes as Air Force vet, Vietnam Air Force vet. You have to look at it through our eyes. He said it was two different worlds. It was a black one and a white one. And he said that he even remembers when they were on like their last liberty, and he said that he went to this, it was like a dance, but it was some white sailors there, And they just started talking. And then the next thing he knew, the police were saying, "Separate, separate." And he was like, whoa. It was just two different worlds. But we just really wanted to get the word out and let people know. Our family is very military-oriented. We understand one thing, that we have to protect our country. It hurts. It's sad. There's tears. I cry. My dad died in 96, right before the book came out. But thank God for the book, because I was able to record him talking about life in World War II. And I have that on Google Drive. You know, so thank God for this story.
So if someone's listening and they buy the book and they're reading through it, what's the most important thing you hope they get out of reading through your uncle's story and the story of those other sailors?
I hope they understand that we're all family. We're all human. We're all one. We have to fight for our country. Love each other. That's all.
Ernestine Pete, whose uncle Magellan Williams was one of the Gold Star heroes lost on the USS Indianapolis 78 years ago this week. It's time for our final break, but when we come back, more perspectives from the Gold Star families who have collaborated on the new book, Heroes in the Shadows, revealing an aspect of the USS Indianapolis saga that has really never been told before. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.